Hey, thank you, Alan. Great song, Overcoming, out of Revelation, Overcomers, by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Well, good to see all of you tonight. Take your Bible. Let's go to the book of Ruth. Oh, hey, John, can you drag that thing over here for me? I forgot to bring it. I'm not used to bringing my pulpit with me when I come out here, so they found me something I could lay my Bible on if I needed, so that's good. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's good. I won't turn it over but twice, so that'll be good. We're in the book of Ruth tonight, Ruth chapter 1. Now, can you find it? Joshua, Judges, Ruth, all right? So you'll find her over there amongst all those mean guys in the front of your Bible, all right? So you find the book of Ruth chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse number we read verse 16, and I'll look at a little bit of verse 17 tonight. We're going to talk about the newness of God. Now, God's doing a new thing, all right? I don't mean in the style of worship and all of that, but God's always doing something new in your life because His mercy is new every morning. So just what God did for you yesterday, it won't suffice for today. God's going to do a new thing within you today. I don't know what your need will be tomorrow, but you'll have one, and God will be the doer of a new thing in your life. I don't know what I'm going to need tomorrow. I got to fly to Norfolk, Virginia early in the morning, fly up there, preach tomorrow night, and get right back Tuesday morning early. And so I don't know what I'll run into, but God will do whatever needs to be done in my life for tomorrow. And whatever needs to be done in this service tonight, God is doing a new thing. Now, it's old truth, but it's fresh and it's new. Isaiah 43:19, God said, I will do a new thing. When you read the word of God over in Ezekiel 11:19, He said, I will put a new spirit within you. We've had an old spirit, it's a lost spirit. He said, I'll put a new spirit within you. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20, He said, I've opened unto you a new and a living way. It's a new way. It was the Old Testament way. Then there was the new and a living way. Not a dead way, but a living way. And then the promise out of Revelation 21:5 is that I will make all things new. And He's talking about heaven and the afterlife. He's going to make everything new. The older I get, the more I like that verse. And He's going to make all this new. Amen. That's right. And as you run on, you get a little older, and it takes you a little longer to get running and going. But God's going to give us a new body and a new heaven and a new place. There's going to be a new earth. God's going to redo the whole earth that we're on. New Jerusalem come down. It's going to be right here, and it's not going to be like this. It's going to be different. It's going to be new heaven and a new earth. He said, I'm going to do a new thing and make all things new. Well, there's a great illustration of newness and God's new provision out of the Old Testament book of Ruth. My mother, this is her favorite book in all of the Bible. Matter of fact, the last time we were in Israel, we found an olive wood carving of Ruth. And I told Liz, I said, I got to get that for mother. She will love to have that on her mantle. And so I went in and I said, I want that. And then I turned it over and I looked on the bottom of it. And I swallowed twice. And I said, all right. Get out both credit cards, and we're going to get that for mother for Christmas and her anniversary and her birthday and for next Christmas, and we'll do that. And we looked, and I told Liz, I said, well, the good thing about this is, I said, you know, it's really like I'm buying it for you, because one day when mother dies, you'll get it, and it'll be good, okay? And all right, but my mother's like 82 and is never going to die. You know, she just lives forever. That's the way she is. She runs and goes every morning. But we found this, it's a beautiful wooden carving out of olive wood of Ruth. And, of course, Mom loved it, and I see it every time I'm there. And it's a beautiful piece. Well, that her favorite story, her favorite book in the Old Testament is Ruth. Now, you know your Bible, then you know the story of Ruth, that in the Old Testament, that Elimelech is the old man, and he's married to Naomi, and they live in Bethlehem, and there's a famine, and so they can't make it there, and they leave, and they go to Moab. Now, the Moabites are pagans. As a matter of fact, Moab came out of the family of Lot from an incestuous relationship, and that came out of that incest that came Moab, that came the Moabites, and they're pagans, all right? They don't believe in Jehovah God. But Elimelech, Naomi, they hear there's food there, so they go. And they've got two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. And those two boys marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. Now, you know the story. Elimelech dies. So Naomi is a widow. Then both of their sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they die. And so there's a widow, and she has two daughters-in-law that are with her. She says, man, I'm getting out of Moab because I hear now there's food back in Bethlehem. And so she's going to go back. Elimelech, her husband that died, I love his name. If you look at it in the first chapter, you'll find it, E-L-I, and then M-E-L-E, I believe it's C-K. It's two words. El on the front end is God, like Elohim. El is God. Melech is king. Elimelech means my God is king. Everybody asks me, what is your granddaughter going to call you? And I said, well, she'll probably just make it up on her own. I don't know. But when Catherine comes to the house and we're watching her and the kids are gone and Liz is in the other room, then I get down in the floor and I prop her up because she's just about to sit up now. And I say, now, listen, can you say Melech? Melech. It's like that woman teaching the Aflac duck how to talk all over again. You remember, you know? And I look at Catherine, and when I say Melech, and then she just laughs. So what do you... It's the word for king. That's what I think she ought to call me. So when people ask me, what's she going to call you? I said, if I get my way, she's going to say, Melech, and the king has arrived. Amen. Yeah. And the reason that is because the king has the gold, and that's how it works. Elimelech, my God is king. He dies. His two sons die. And so Naomi is left, and she has Orpah. She has Ruth. You know, if you've read your Bible, girls, go back to your families, and I'm going to Bethlehem. And Orpah says, that sounds like a good thing to do. But Ruth says, uh-uh. And that's our text tonight. It's that classic verse in Ruth 1:16. Where Naomi has said, Ruth, go back to your people. And here is what Ruth says in Ruth 1 and verse 16. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. She goes on in verse 17 to say, and where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. And thus may the Lord do to me in worse if anything but death parts you and me. We usually use this verse at weddings. People stand here and we talk about Where you live, I live. Where you go, I'll go. You're got to be my God. And so we bring that a lot of times to the wedding. But I want to take that one more step, because I believe the prophetic word here is not just at wedding. But I believe this verse gives us a wonderful look at the newness of God when a lost person comes to Christ and they are put together, and it is Christ in us, and our only boast is in the cross, and His righteousness is our defense, as we were singing about this morning in service two. And we see that within us, and I believe there is the relationship of Christ and the believer, and there's much to see in this text. Matter of fact, there's six new things that I want to show you that I believe just fall right out of these two verses. So let's look at them. If you've come to faith in Christ, you saw those three people baptized tonight. That first little sweet girl, she came this morning, she and her father, and she gave her heart and life to Christ and was saved. Then these two boys, Brad and Bradley, that came. And as I said, I had the opportunity of speaking with Brad. We knelt right here, and he prayed after second service today and asked the Lord to save him. And he was he asked me, he said, "Well, is it time to be baptized?" I said, "Yeah, you can do that tonight or you can next Sunday." He said, "I want to do it tonight." I said, "That's good. That's what I'm looking for right there. Amen." And so God's done a new thing within their heart. He should be doing a new thing in you. Let's look in this text. Six new things I want you to see. First of all, it is what I call a new determination. A new determination. He says, Ruth does, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you." This is doing the right thing when it's hard. Let me tell you, if you become a Christ follower and you stay with Him, there will need to be a new determination that God places within your heart. And it's when things get tough that you say, I will never leave. I am determined, I will never leave. Jesus said it this way to us. He said, "I've not come to bring peace, but to bring a what? A sword. To set a brother against a brother, a man against a wife, a sister against a brother." He said, you see, He's not telling us that when you get saved, you ought to have a family fight. Lord knows we do that before we get saved and all the time. But He's not talking about, what He's saying is there's a divide. There's those in Christ and out of Christ. And when you live for the Lord Jesus, there will be those in your family that will not like it, and they will not stand with you. As a matter of fact, they will ostracize you. Some will make fun of you. Some of your peer group will do this. But there needs to be this new determination. I will not leave you, no matter what. God does this new thing. And boy, I tell you, the believers that are in America today need to have a new determinism within their life. That there's no turning back. I will not leave you. Not only is there a new determination, but a new direction. For she goes on to say, "For where you go, I will go." We walk a new path. We walk the path that God says go. It's a new direction. You've been going in one direction. God saves you. You're repenting. You go in another direction. You're walking in a certain way. And God said, "Oh, no, I don't want you there. I want you to go over here. I want you to live here. I want you to take this major. I want you to do that." God sets a new direction. Isaiah, one of my favorite verses in all the Word of God. Isaiah, he speaks and he says, "You will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way. Walk in it.'" Now, we're looking for a new minister of music. I'm dealing with some people. We're praying. We're getting serious about it. So, Pastor, seems pretty quick. Now, I want you to understand something. I've already had 2 months way ahead of this, you see. I knew 2 weeks before Leo said he was leaving. And then he was here 6 more weeks, so it's 2 months. I've already been dealing with this, and so I knew it was coming, and now there's 2 or 3 weeks afterwards. So we're well into the 3rd month of my direction, so I didn't just fiddle around, all right? So I went to work and began to pray and talk. And I'm in serious discussion with some people and asking them and praying with them and just saying, hey, let's seek the mind of God. And this is the verse I keep using out of Isaiah. I said, listen, we can find people that can sing. We can find somebody that can lead a choir. What we need is somebody that God has said, you've heard that voice. This is the way. Walk in it. And if a staff member needs to hear that, every believer needs to live their life in that way. With this new direction where the Spirit of God speaks into our heart. This is the way. This is the job. This is the house. This is the course. This is the vocation. Walk in it. A new determination, a new direction. Thirdly, there is a new dependence. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Ruth said, I don't know where I'm going to live, but I trust Naomi. I trust you. Wherever you hang, I'm going to hang. And we need to say, Lord Jesus, it doesn't matter where we're going to live. We've got this new dependence on you. As long as you are there, everything's going to be all right. And we are dependent. I mean, we are dependent on the Lord to simply say, that is where you're supposed to be. Now, you know the rest of the story if you read on through Ruth. The reason this is my mother's favorite story is because there's a love story in it. And you get on over and you know the story that Ruth is gathering up wheat and she meets Boaz and then she goes down there and there's that real sensual passage in there where she goes in and sleeps at his feet and there's nothing sexual involved, but it's sensuality. I mean, if I woke up in the middle of the night and a strange woman laying on my feet, I'm just telling you right now, that'd at least be some questions asked, all right? And Boaz, she's there, and eventually they marry, as you know the story, and Ruth and Boaz marry, and they have a little boy, and his name is Obed, O-B-E-D, and Obed, he finally marries, and he has a son, and his name is Jesse, and Jesse married, and he's got a bunch of kids, and his youngest kid is David. Right out, boy, isn't it just like God, he takes a pagan and puts her in the lineage of the coming king. Let me tell you, if God can use her, he can use you. And David is the one who wrote Psalm 37:25 that said, I've never seen God's seed go begging bread. I'm telling you, friend, he knew the story of his great, great, great grandmother. And he knew how Ruth had come with this new dependence. David said, I don't see God's seed going begging bread. Why? Because they're dependent on God and God provides for them. There's a new determination, a new direction, a new dependence. Number four, there is a new desire. Your people will be my people. You see, Ruth left the pagan Moabites and has now come into a Jewish community with Ruth and her family and their new desires within her, these new connections that she had. Man, if you get married, you've joined a new clan. I mean, it's different, too. Man, when I married Liz, I share with you this morning a little bit that about country and city. I mean, you know, she is from town. And I was not. I'd never had rice till I went to her house. We never had rice. We ate potatoes. That was the starch. One potato, two potato, three potato. Yeah. Every meal. Morning, noon, and night. First time I ate at her house, there was no meat. I'm just telling you, that ain't right. We had dinner and we got in the car and we was going to a movie, and I remember I looked over at her and I said, I got a question. I said, where was the meat? I said, I'm going to have to stop down here. She said, it was there. I said, where? She said, that gelatin salad, it was kind of purple and it had pecans in it. She said, the chicken was in there. I said, in the jello? She said, yeah. I said, that ain't right. You don't put chicken in jello. You dump a cup of fruit cocktail in it. Well, those little white grapes, it'll kill you if you eat them. You know those I'm talking about? Man, it's different. She come to my house and it was different. Gravy, gravy, gravy. And I mean, this, we're just at the table. We hadn't talked about anything else. Her family was loud and talking and mine was quiet. But we want to be together and become one. There comes this new desire. Let me tell you, friend, when you come to Christ, He'll put you with a new crowd. He'll put you in a church. He'll put you in a small group. He'll put you in a fellowship. And those people may not be like you, and they may not be like your past, but I'm telling you, there's a new desire that gets set in your heart that where they lodge, you will lodge, and God's people will be your people. It's called koinonia. We're different. Yes, thank God we are. But He draws us together as one people and gives us this new desire to be a part of the people of God. You know, now trusting the church is hard. I mean, coming into a new church. This morning, I was out in a foyer and there was a young girl there. Matter of fact, she's a new student at the University of West Florida, and her mother and her father and some friends had brought her over here and they brought her to church for the first time. And I met this sweet young lady, her name's Kelsey, and she's going to be on the swim team over at West Florida. Just moved here and freshman just coming in, you know, walking in this big old place, that's hard. She's from down South Florida and she's come to South Alabama. And she has, and she may not know it, but she has. And we're just trying to make her at home. And man, she got a great personality and seemed to do just fine. I believe she'll jump. You know, when you jump in a new family, church, do you understand how important it is that you be friendly to people when they walk in here? I mean, you understand how important it is to shake their hand and call them by name and hug their neck? It's hard for people to trust, especially a bunch of Baptists. Because we got all these things people say about us, whether true or not. But you see, your new desire when you come to be a part of the family of God is that God's people become your people. And it's important you hang out with them and be a part of them and unite with them. There's a new determination, a new direction, a new dependence, a new desire about people being my people. Number five, there's a new devotion. Oh, yes. Ruth says, Naomi, your God is going to be my God. Now, the reason Ruth's saying that, she'd already seen the strength. She'd seen the strength of Naomi's God. Naomi's God had gotten her through the loss of a husband, the burial of two sons, and walking off and leaving and coming back to a people she had left. And she said, there's something about the God of Naomi. Ruth said, your God's going to be my God. And so there's a new devotion. And she bows down at the feet of Jehovah. She knew her dad-in-law's name, Elimelech. God is my king. She knew there was a new king that she was to bow to. Your God will be my God. There was new devotion. I want to ask you, Are you keeping morning watch every day? Are you keeping devotion? Do you spend time with the Master? Are you in His Word reading the Psalms and the Proverbs? Are you there reading the New Testament? Are you spending time with him in devotion? Amen? You do that. Robert Gillen sits over here, and Robert's always shamed me, not purposefully, just his own testimony, at the way he leads his family in devotion. He talks about it. You know, we were in this book this morning, and we were reading here and doing that. Now, they're not perfect. They don't do it all the time. I mean, they can't be perfect. They got Katie over there, all right? I mean, she's going to be the next veterinarian in Northwest Florida right there, she says. But Robert just talks about that. You hear him. It's not bragging. It's natural. Let me tell you, when you have devotion, it's just a natural thing. And you spend time with your God, and it just flows out of you. And that's where God does a new thing. This is one of the hardest deals we ever did in our family, to try to keep devotion and have, I do that all the time. And it's hard because we'd get our family together, and they always think I'm wanting to preach. And the reason that is because I did, you know. And they'd want to talk about this, and I'd say, well, let me tell you what that word really means. You know, it's just hard to keep your mouth shut and just let God speak. Teresa Tucker, who's in the praise team in the second service today, she posted on Facebook this afternoon, somebody said something about the sermon this morning, and she said, let me give you a Tucker translation of this morning's sermon. Come down out of your tree and you get to have lunch with Jesus. And I'm thinking, why didn't she tell me that before? I could have used that line today. It was great. But you know, I want to get in the background, but there's something about just letting the Word of God speak to you and wash over your soul. Ruth had learned devotion. Your God will be my God. And lastly, there's a new dedication. And that's in verse 17. For where you die, I will die. That meant she was in till death parts us. Wherever you die, that's where I'm going to die, Naomi. How many of you either coach or have kids in upward sports this year? All right, people all over the deal right here. What's the theme for upward sports this year? All in. That's the theme for upward sports this year. All in. We're all in. Where you die, I die. We're all in. That means that there is in her life this dedication. I mean, we are all in until death parts us. How long are you going to follow Christ? You're going to follow him till you die. You're all in. Brad, where are you? Baptized, where is he? Where'd you go, man? Yeah, come up here. Talk to me. Where'd you go? Yeah. Amen. Alan, I need a microphone. It'll work. Any one of them? All right. Red light's on. That's good. Come here and join me, man.
All right.
You may not even need a microphone. That foghorn. Yeah. Amen. Hey,
yes,
thanks
sir.
For coming. Now,
yes, sir.
I just sent him word to do this a little while ago. Now, if you come up and put your arm on this board tonight, if we get in a church fight, he's on my side, and I'm just here to tell you, hey, we'll take care of you. I want you just to put that microphone up about your chin and
yes, sir.
Just tell us a little bit of what you told me this morning of
yes,
what
sir.
God did in your heart.
Well, I've been coming here off and on since I was little, and when I was 16, I got baptized and saved, but I never repented for my sins, and I never took the word serious. I took it serious, but then I went off to college, and I just fell apart from God. And I really feel from that point on until today, if I would have died, there's a good chance I could have went to hell. And it really put a burden on me. I wanted to make sure and come back and do everything right. So.
Amen. Now, there was a gentleman, he teaches over at Hillcrest, and he had an influence in you about this. Tell me about
my neighbor, Lee Carnley.
Is he here?
He is.
Yeah, Lee, where are you? Bless you, Lee. Boy, I prayed for your church this morning. I know y'all had a big day with baptism and all. I prayed for Jim Locke this morning, and thank God for a great day over at our sister church. Tell us what he did in your life.
He actually, that's my neighbor, and we talk the word every now and then, but actually he went through the same thing. He thought he was saved and baptized when he was younger, and actually when he was 30 years old, he really thought that he needed to be saved and be baptized. And he always thought that from the time when he was young up until when he was 30 years old, like myself, if he would have died, he would have went to hell. And he told me that story, and, you know, it's kind of the same thing that I went through. And so, you know, I've never been a bad kid. I've never went to jail. I've never done any drugs or anything like that. But, you know, the reality is, you know, there's a good chance I could have went to hell just, you know, by not taking that word serious. And so I really feel better about today and our talk and everything, and I really appreciate you helping me with
everything. Yes, sir. Tell me what God did for you today.
Well, first off, he saved my soul.
Amen.
You know, and I know now that, you know, I want to repent from my sin, and I just want to live for God now. You know, I was never.
Yeah, that's good. Give him a hand.
Yeah. I know that you can never go wrong walking with Christ. You know, you always think about when you're young that you got a lot of buddies. You know, I played some sports in college, and most of them go one direction, and I went that same direction. But when it's all said and done, the only way is the right way, and the only right way is through Jesus Christ. And I finally learned that, you know, over the past couple of years. And from this point on, like my neighbor, I'm living for God only, and that's the way I want to live. And everything will turn out if I do that. So.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Man, thanks for sharing your heart today.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. That's the work of God doing a new thing. A new thing. Now, my question tonight is, God done a new thing in you? If he's not done a new thing in you, then you need, like Brad, you just need to come say, Lord, I just surrender, I give up, I give you my life. Lord, do a new thing in me. And Lord, where you go, I go. Where you live, I'll live. Where you lead, I'll follow. Lord, you God, and I'm going to make you my God. And I bow my life until death parts us. Do this new thing in me. Alan and the group's going to come and get ready to share with us. Let me give you this microphone back. Somebody's going to need that, all right? In a moment, when they lead us to worship, if you're here and you're like Brad or one of these others and you've never come to faith in Christ, then I'm going to encourage you to come tonight. We want to pray over you. Maybe there's just a new thing that needs to be done in your life tonight. And you'd say, Pastor, I just need somebody to pray for me, encourage me. Then we want you to come. Maybe you're here and want to be a part of this church. You just come and we'll be glad to talk with you, sit down in a quiet place and fellowship about what it means to be a member at Olive Baptist Church. And we'd welcome you to come and be a part of that tonight. Wherever you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your people be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. I believe it's a picture of what we ought to be in Christ with the new work of the Lord within us. Father, I pray in Jesus' name tonight and ask you, Lord, to speak into our soul and draw us unto yourself. And I pray, Lord, that people come and know you and that you'd do a new thing within them. I give you praise this night for the blessed word of God. Thank you for a lady like Ruth from thousands of years ago that lives even today with a great testimony that speaks into our hearts.